everybody. Welcome to our service here at Crestview Baptist Church. So glad to have everyone join in this morning as we get ready to praise our Heavenly Father. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, God, for allowing us to, one way or the other, Lord, come together and worship. We're together even though we might be far apart. God, thank you for being a constant for us in this time of continuous change. And help us through everything we do, keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, be with everybody that's involved today. And everybody who's listening, I just pray that you soften our hearts and allow us to hear the message that you have prepared for us. All this we ask in your name, God. Amen. All right, guys. So, just like every week, I want you to draw your kids in real close. And I'm going to give them an opportunity to interact at home today. I wish I could hear what they would say. But I'm going to give you some phrases from some popular kids' movies, and I want to see if they can guess who got it. And they can enter it in the comments, and I'd love to look at it later and hear what they have to say. It's going to start really easy. The first one is To Infinity and Beyond. And in case you don't know, in case you didn't get it, that's Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story. The second one gets a little bit harder because I would have never guessed this one. It says, some people are worth melting for. Anybody? That's Olaf from Frozen. And one more. This one's really hard for me because I don't know this movie that well. It says, in every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. Does anybody know what that one is? That's from Mary Poppins. All right, so these are phrases from popular kids' movies. And if you're like me and you watch a lot of movies, you know those pretty well. Well, I want to give you a phrase right now and see what you think about this one. It says, love each other as I have loved you. Who do you think said that, guys? Who do you think said, love each other as I have loved you? I hope you got it right. That's right. That is Jesus who said that. If we would take the time to get into God's Word and listen to what He says as much as we get into movies and memorize these lines from these movies, our lives would be so much easier. I want to share some scripture before I close this out. It's John 10. It's John chapter 10, verse 4. It says, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So as you go out this week and through your rest and through your life, stay in God's Word and know God's voice better than you know any line from any movie. And if you know God's voice, when he leads you, you will follow. Guys, I hope you have a good week, and let's bow our heads again real quick. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your voice that leads us in times that we're lost. Thank you for the boys and girls who are watching at home, for their parents who brought them to the screens, Lord. Lord, I look forward to a time when I can see all their beautiful faces again, Lord. Love you, and we praise you. Amen.
And your mountain seems so tall, and you realize life's not always fair. You can run away and hide, let the old man deal.
Thank you, Angel. That was incredible. And you know, it seems that the more we are focused on God and praising Him, what's going on around us doesn't matter quite as much. And we are able to get through the difficult times because we are praising our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, thank you for being here with us again. We hope you are enjoying our service so far, and we're going to continue looking at the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit, God gives through the Holy Spirit to this church, to the edifying of the church. And I know we've been in Ephesians for several weeks, but today we're making a little change because Paul doesn't just talk about spiritual gifts in Ephesians, he also talks about them in Romans. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8 this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. If you don't, there's verses are going to be on the screen. But Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, it says this: "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teachings, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives, with liberality, he who leads, with diligence, he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you once again that we can come together in your name. Even though miles may separate us, that is nothing compared to the unity that we have in Christ. And we thank you for bringing us together, and we gather in your name. And dear Lord, bless this time that we have together. Speak through me this morning. May I listen to your guidance as I bring your word. And bless the reading of your word. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ our Savior we pray. Amen. So what exactly is serving? Well, the Greek word that is translated serving here is diakonia, which means to do service. Now, look at what it says here. Since we have gifts in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 7, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us to exercise them accordingly. And then in verse 7, it says, if service, in his serving. Now, that word for service or serving is diakonia, and it means to do service. The word diakonos is translated as deacon, comes from this word, literally means one who serves or ministers. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. The same word is used here as Paul uses in Romans chapter 12, verse 7. Now, basically what was going on here is that the church, the Hebrews, were taking care of their widows, but they were leaving out the Hellenistic Jews, or the Greek Jews. They weren't giving them the same portion. They weren't giving them the same service. And as you know the story here, the apostles came together and told the church, choose 7 men from among you that they may serve the church so that we can concentrate on spreading the gospel. And the church did it, and they selected 7 men. Those were the first deacons. They literally were elected to serve the people. And I am talking like a waiter serves the people, but they were to minister through their service. That is the same word that we have here that is translated service as part of the spiritual gifts. The word conveys the idea of ministry through service. Now let's look at this gift of service. In Ephesians 4, verse 12, we see that for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. The same purpose in this gift of service, as in all the other gifts that we've looked at, God has given through the Holy Spirit these gifts for the building up of the church, for serving others, to spreading the gospel and building the kingdom of God. One purpose for these gifts. One purpose. But I need to make sure that everybody understands that this gift of serving is not the gift God gives you when you cannot do anything else. In fact, it is quite the opposite. It is a spiritual gift and is as important to building up the body of Christ than any other gift. It is not just a secondary gift. This is a primary gift for the building up of the church and for building people and making disciples. It is not a secondary gift at all. It is not a second-class gift. In fact, it is very important. And it is given by the Holy Spirit and is therefore just as important as any other gifts. God has equipped you with a gift that is perfect for the purpose He has for you in His life or in your life. It's not by accident, those of you that have the gift of service. It is not by accident, those that have the gift of shepherding or those that have the gift of faith or the gift of prophecy or the gift of teaching. It is not by accident that you have those gifts, because God knows you and He gave you the gift that best suits the abilities that He has given you. So we understand that He has given you this gift because of how He has made you, and it's the perfect fit for the purpose that He has for your life. Now let's look at some of the general characteristics of those that have the gift of service. Okay? Those with the gift of service see and meet practical needs. A lot of times we want to help somebody, but we don't know how to help them. Well, the gift of service, somebody that has that gift, they will see exactly what's needed and they will meet it in a very practical way. And it's practical needs. They don't give somebody or help somebody get a lawnmower when they need a car. You understand what I'm saying? Or they don't give them food when they need gas. They meet these needs practically, and they meet the needs that are needed, and they see it when other people don't. Now, those with the gift of service free others to achieve. Now, I want you to understand what I'm talking about here. A lot of people with service feel underappreciated. They feel that they are second class because they don't have all these other abilities to do some of these things. It's not the case. Because of what you do and the service that you do and meeting people's needs, you actually help others to achieve the purpose God has for their life. Now do you understand why I say that this is a very important gift? Because you actually help others see the importance and their role that God has for them to fulfill. Then those with the gift of service also have no regard for weariness. People that have the gift of service will work themselves to death with no regard for themselves or their well-being. My mom, who is probably watching, is one that is evidently has the gift of service, and she has worked herself to the bone to serve other people, making food for people, helping people, taking people places. She has done it all and continues to do it, not only with her own children, but everyone that she comes in contact with. We have many people in our church here that have the gift of service, and they wear themselves out and work themselves to ill health and everything else because it is what God has called them to do. And they do it with no regard whatsoever for their own being. That is a characteristic of someone with the gift of service. Then those with the gift of service also have difficulty saying no. Those two just go hand in hand. They work themselves to death and they still don't know how to say no, that they can't do something. And in some cases, they tend to get taken advantage of because of their inability to say no. But they want to meet everyone's needs. Those with the gift of service are alert to small details. They will know things that everybody else overlooks. They will see that person that there may be something off with them on that day. And nobody else notices it, but a person with the gift of service will notice those small details. They will also remember names, dates, birth dates, important things. That if something is important to somebody, they will remember those small details when everybody else may overlook those or forget them. The person with the gift of service won't do that. Those with the gift of service have a strong desire to be with other people. This time of quarantine is driving people that have the gift of service completely crazy because they're not able to be with people and meet needs like they want to. Those with the gift of service need approval and recognition. Remember what I said, a lot of times people with the gift of service feel unappreciated or that they are second class because of their gift that they have of service. It's not that they want to get patted on the back. It's not that they want to be raised up and glorified. They need the approval and recognition, and to them, it means that they have served correctly, that they have met those needs that need to be met. It's not because they're wanting to get patted on the back, or they even want to be called out in church or anything like that. It is the fact that people recognize and see that the gift or the need has been met. That's what's important to them, knowing that they are being useful. Okay? Those with the gift of service enjoy short-range projects. Why is that? It's because when they serve, they want to see results. They want to see something happen. And so they enjoy these short-range projects. They're not thinking about 10, 15 years down the road. They're wanting to meet immediate needs right then. So they are usually involved in these short-range projects. And those with the gift of service often feel unqualified for spiritual leadership because of the fact that they sometimes feel that they are not an important person, or that their gift is not a necessary gift. A lot of times they feel unqualified for spiritual leadership, but the complete opposite is true. They are needed and they are qualified to be a spiritual leader because they are using their gift to do exactly what God has designed them to do, and they are meeting a need that may not be met any other way. But I also want to point out this, that those with the gift of service may feel unqualified, but in actuality, they are following the example of Jesus Christ. You say, well, wait a second. Why do you say that? Well, look at Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. It says, "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you will be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give himself life as ransom for many.'" These verses show that Christ came not to rule us, not to be served, but to serve. And he came as a sacrificial gift for us and laid himself down on the cross for us. His entire life was about ministering and serving others and bringing people to a saving knowledge of himself and God, to renew that relationship with God that had been broken because of sin. So by following the example of Jesus Christ, people with the gift of service, they're doing just that. They are meeting practical needs that are drawing people closer and closer to Christ. And in some cases, they even bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ because of something simple that they do to meet a need. Because we cannot operate as a body of Christ without having some people that have the gift of service. If we had a church that was full of prophets or teachers or preachers or shepherds, things would get done. A lot of things would go without being done because there would nobody be working behind the scenes to make sure things were getting taken care of. If I am not here on a Sunday morning, someone else is able to step in and do what I do. But if the person that is running the sound system isn't here, there is not a whole lot of people that know how to operate things up in the sound booth. We have several, but if somebody's not here, there's a big scramble to make sure that things are done. If the person that cleans our building is not there or sick or something, people notice that something's not been done. So the gift of service is a very important gift to the church, because they're the ones that work behind the scenes and allow others to use their gifts. So don't think that if you have the gift of service that you're not needed, that you're not important. You are very important. And you are just as important as any of the other people that have the different gifts. Continue to use it faithfully. Continue to serve your Lord and Savior by serving others. And be a blessing to the whole church. Now, as we come to the end of our service, I'm going to pray. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, praise God. If you don't, please send me a private message on Facebook, or send it to the church's webpage, or however you want to contact us. We would love to be able to talk to you and show you how to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you know Christ as your Savior and you're not sure exactly what spiritual gift that you have or how to use it in our church or the church, whatever church you attend, contact me and I'll give you the information on how you can do a spiritual gift assessment to see where you fall and how you can use the church or use your gifts for the church. But we just want to be able to meet your needs. Whatever need it is you have, let us know now. But please join me in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, once again we come to the end of our service. And dear Lord, we hope and pray that people have been able to worship today, and that someone is being drawn closer to you because of what we've done today. And we also pray that you receive honor and glory for it. Dear Lord, continue to guide us in our decisions. Continue to keep us safe, dear Lord. be with us as we go throughout the rest of the week, that we will continue to be a lighthouse for you wherever we are. That people will look at us and say, there is something different about them. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.